From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And we begin today with Central Illinois Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski. She's a Democrat who just won re-election in the 13th District, which includes the Central Illinois communities of Champaign-Urbana, Decatur, Springfield, and the Metro East. Congress is in session this week, so in order to accommodate Budzinski's schedule, I spoke with her Tuesday afternoon. Congresswoman Budzinski, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Great to be with you, Brian, as always.
What are your big takeaways from the Democrats, largely defeat? I mean, you won, but a lot of Democrats did not, including Vice President Kamala Harris. What's your big takeaway from the election outcome?
Yeah, it was a very tough night for Democrats. My big takeaway was that I didn't think our economic message really resonated with working people. I think we were coming at voters with a lot of facts and figures on why they should be feeling that the economy had improved since President Biden took office, but the reality being that people were not feeling it. And so I think that, breaking through on economic message on an economic platform that really demonstrates that, we're helping to bring down costs of everyday goods and services, whether it's groceries or gas. That message just didn't land with voters. And I think people voted on the economy. I was really proud that we were able to win. Obviously, I won my reelection. We were able to improve on our vote total. I won with just over 15% of the vote. And maybe more importantly, I was able to increase my win on each of the seven counties that I represent. We won for the first time Macon County, for example. And so what I really attribute that to is, I think, two things. One, I would say I've been very committed to bipartisanship in Washington, which is not always the easy path to go down, but I think one that is important. Trying to find the common ground with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle is something that I've been committed to on day one. I think voters in the 13th district saw that and appreciated that. I'd say the second is really focusing on local issues and delivering on local priorities. In Champaign, for example, I spend a lot of time talking about Silicon Valley, how we want a tech hub, a $51 million federal investment in our community to build out a bioeconomy, or in the Village of Savoy, the ability for us to get a big infrastructure grant, $22 million for the Village of Savoy. I think those kind of deliverables really resonated with voters and would be the two reasons why I think that we were able to break through on what was an otherwise very difficult night for Democrats.
And yet I've heard some Democrats saying, or people aligned with Democrats, at least sort of broadly progressive people, saying that they're wondering if deliverism, right, is a term that people use, like delivering things for constituents, if that doesn't work. Like if you look at the Teamsters, right, the membership seems to have gone against the Democrats this time, despite the things that a very labor-friendly administration has done.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we didn't do and really should have been doing throughout the Biden administration was telling the story of the big transformational pieces of legislation that did pass under the Biden administration, how they were directly impacting in a positive way people in their daily lives. For example, I don't believe anyone in the district, if you were to press them, knows what the Inflation Reduction Act is. But when you say to them, it was Democrats and President Biden that signed into law capping the cost of insulin at $35, people get that. And I think that one of the things when you're talking about deliverables and deliverism, I guess, was what you were calling it.
Yeah.
I think if we don't connect it to a story and how it directly impacts people's lives, then that connection is never made. And it just sounds like a lot of facts and figures that don't land and resonate. And I think that is really, truly what we struggled with. I think infrastructure, one of the largest investments in American manufacturing. I serve on the House Veterans Affairs Committee, the PACT Act, which was the largest expansion of veterans' ability to gain access to health care, protecting our veterans that have served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Those were all Democratic priorities that happened under President Biden's watch. But I think there were few voters that really understood or knew about them. And so I think a lesson learned for me is we have to tell our story. We have to tell people why it matters and how it supports and helps them directly. And if we can't do that, then we haven't broken through. And I think that was one of the bigger problems that we had on election night.
What do you think about cultural issues? Are Democrats out of step with the majority of American people on cultural issues?
Well, I think that, I think that the thing that folks voted on, which was the number one issue, was the economy. I also would argue the second, and something that, sometimes I wasn't always aligned with my party on, was immigration and the need for us to address the crisis that was happening at the southern border. I would actually argue that I think in some ways, our broken immigration system really did meld into becoming an economic issue for a lot of voters. I think those were the issues that voters wanted to see us really prioritize and tackle. It's not to say that some of our individual liberties and freedoms, which I am, very concerned about going into this next Trump administration, aren't top of mind for folks. But in a state like, the state of Illinois, where we are a safe haven state for women's reproductive health care, breaking through on that issue was maybe not as salient as it was to say, we want to help people keep more of what they've earned. We want to help drive down the cost of prescription drugs. We want to make your everyday life more affordable. I think that was really where voters were. And I think that's what the Democratic Party needs to continue to lean into to reconnect with some voters that we've lost some connection with.
You mentioned the border and immigration, and that is one thing that former and future President Trump campaigned on and seems to be putting people in place to carry out his promise of deporting potentially up to 15 or 20 million people. Illinois has some laws in place that sort of limit cooperation with the federal government on immigration enforcement. Do you think that Illinois ought to try to resist the Trump administration in this regard or cooperate?
Yeah, well, let me say, I definitely oppose the plan that this incoming Trump administration has laid out on mass deportations. I also want to say I definitely don't support what I believe is a horrific family separation policy that the Trump administration or the incoming Trump administration has also been talking about, and something that they did in their first term, their first administration. So I do think we need to find the places of resistance. But I also think that we have to get to the bigger issue, which is, again, is something we've talked about before, Brian. We have a broken immigration system in this country. We have a broken asylum system. What we're seeing at the border and the crisis at the border, I've always believed to be the symptom of this larger issue. If we want to really tackle this, Democrats and Republicans need to come together to find common sense solutions. I don't consider mass deportations a common sense solution to address our broken immigration system. For folks that want to legally come into our country and achieve legal status, it shouldn't be taking decades. When you're seeing an asylum system that is completely broken, where people that legitimately are seeking asylum, like those from Ukraine, can't do that. We need to fix our system. But I think, again, this is where bipartisanship is important, and something that I hope that we need to, I believe we need to make a top priority in this next Congress, is fixing this system and coming up with common sense solutions that make this system work.
Last week on the show, we spoke with your neighboring Congressman Mike Bost, a Republican from Southern Illinois, and we talked about this issue of deportations. And I asked him, he didn't indicate he was very concerned about the economic consequences that mass deportations could have on communities in his district, because he says a lot of people who are there doing sort of agricultural labor or things like that are have legal permits. Where are you on that question of the economic consequences to carrying out this plan?
Well, I think there will be significant economic consequences if there are mass deportations. And I do believe, just using one example, being in the agricultural sector, when I visit my growers, I visited some of the family farms that grow horseradish in my district on the western side in Collinsville. They rely on folks, yes, with visas, but I think that agriculture is something that, we need to make sure that we have folks that are there that are able to do the work that these farmers and growers are relying on. Many of them are there with visas, but I think that there will be a larger economic impact, I think, well beyond this, if there are mass deportations, because I think a lot of our economic sectors have come to rely on immigrants that are in our country. So I think it's something that we need to be very mindful of. And I think the details of what this incoming Trump administration are talking about when they say mass deportations, I think are yet is yet to be determined.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski from the 13th District in Central Illinois. I spoke with her on Tuesday afternoon. One of the least powerful positions to be in Washington is in the House minority. It just, there are not a lot of institutional opportunities for exercising your will the way the Senate minority has, for example. What is your agenda? What do you hope to be able to get done in the coming term?
Well, I think there are a number of areas where I have been able to work together with Republican colleagues. I think, again, bipartisanship is going to be very important. One of them is in workforce development. The LEAP Act, which was my first piece of legislation I introduced with my Republican colleague. He's a Ways and Means member, Mike Carey from Columbus, Ohio. It's a tax cut, basically a tax credit for small businesses that hire apprentices. Something I'm a very big believer in is creating more pathways for working people to get into good paying jobs that don't require 4-year college degrees. This small business tax credit would incentivize apprenticeship programs through union apprenticeship programs or community colleges. I think there's a real chance that, and we're going to be advocating that this be included in the tax package that's being debated next Congress. The fact that I have a Republican Ways and Means member in Mike Carey, I think helps as this bill is going to move through the Ways and Means Committee. I think it's being strategic on issues like this, finding good partners on both sides of the aisle. You know, another big issue that I'm going to be tackling, again, bipartisan, is PBM reform. You know, we talk about how are we going to bring down the cost of prescription drugs in this country. I'm on a piece of legislation called the Pharmacist Fight Back Act, introduced with Republican and Democratic colleagues, to hold accountable PBMs, which we're finding out from the FTC, are the lead culprit in driving up the cost of prescription drugs in this country. These aren't Democratic or Republican issues. And when we're going into this next Congress, recognizing that House Democrats will be in the minority, it's about finding partners on the other side of the aisle on the issues that matter most to my district and working together to try to get something done. That's something that, regardless of the election results in November, I'm going to continue that work. It's the work I was doing before I was reelected. It's the work I'm going to be doing into a second term.
What about issues like abortion, if there is a push for a national abortion ban? Illinois is, you know, considers itself a safe haven, I guess, depending on one's perspective about that issue, whether it's safe or not. But it is a place where reproductive health care is pretty strongly protected. What role do Democrats have in trying to prevent sort of more national legislation that could potentially interfere, or even things that are not legislative, right? Using existing laws such as the Comstock Act to interfere with mailing of medication used in abortions?
Yeah, look, I'm going to do everything I can, Brian. I know we've talked about this before, to protect a woman's right to choose. I think that is a fundamental personal freedom, a right to privacy, a decision that should be exclusively made between a woman and her doctor. One of the encouraging outcomes of the November election was that we did see 7 states through ballot referendum decide to protect a woman's right to choose. And so my job will be in the House is if anything were to come up like a national abortion ban, I'm going to be strongly in opposition to that, opposed to that, and do everything I can to support a woman's right to make her own decisions about her own body moving forward. That's the way I felt before this election. It's the way I feel today, and it's the way I'm going to feel into the future. So that's a fight that we will have.
Last thing I want to ask you about, and I know our time is limited. I have friends ranging from, it's probably going to be fine. I sort of call that number one on a scale of 1 to 10, and other friends who are 10, like, this could be the last election America has. Where are you in terms of what the incoming administration is going to do in terms of, you know, an authoritarian attempt, as some are calling it?
I'm very concerned. I mean, what you're seeing just in the nominations that have come forward last week, it's not just about Matt Gaetz. It's about some of the other very troubling nominees that this administration, Donald Trump, has put forward as nominees. I mean, are these folks that are really the best that we can do in this country to lead some of these agencies? I will say also, as someone that once served as the chief of staff at the Office of Management and Budget, what we're seeing already That supporters and organizations that are close to incoming President Donald Trump's administration are doing to attack the federal workforce, I think is very, very troubling. The federal government is made up of a lot of civil servants meaning folks that are professional, that carry over from administration to administration. Their job is to implement the administration's agenda. But these are professionals, and what you're seeing is an attack on that. And with the, coupling that with these nominations, I am very, very troubled. That being said, I think that my job is to, you know, fight back as I will on any attacks on our freedoms and liberties and democracy, but also at the same time, continue to, where it's possible, find the common ground with my colleagues, again, as that's possible, and remain hopeful that there's still places that we can still do that. So that's how I'm looking at this.
Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski, thank you for taking the time to share your views.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski represents the 13th District in Central Illinois. It includes the communities of Champaign-Urbana, Decatur, Springfield, and the Metro East. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.